Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, guys. This is High Priestess. I'm Erin. This is my voice. And you are?
And I'm Persephone, and this is my voice. This is my actual voice box.
Gorgeous. And today we're going to be using our gorgeous voice boxes to discuss...
internalised misogyny.
Nice. Let's get into it. We asked you some questions on the poll, on the story. Shall I dive in?
Go on, dive right in, Erin.
Well, there were some things that I wanted to call out, as usual.
So we found some discrepancies within your answers. But let's just hear them from the top, first of all, so we're all on the same page. First of all, shall we describe what internalised misogyny is?
Absolutely. Take it away.
If you don't know what internalised misogyny is, it's basically a patriarchal kind of system that's at work within our society that kind of privileges masculine traits over feminine traits and kind of assumes that men are more intelligent, men are funnier, men are just superior in every way, and anything aligned with femininity is kind of stupid.
If misogyny is the belief that men are superior, internalised misogyny is when you've internalised that belief and taken it on for yourself, even though you are yourself an inferior little girl. Here we go. So I asked, growing up, you were more girly or more of a tomboy? And actually, it was a relatively even split, bit of a Brexit situation.
Nice. Although, I mean, not nice.
Yeah, quite awful.
Like rock bottom.
Hundreds of you said you were girly. Slightly more of you said you were a tomboy growing up. What did you say? Tomboy.
I said tomboy. What did you say?
Same, definitely more of a tomboy, although I definitely had phases.
Yeah, I think I was a tomboy basically until I hit puberty. And then I was kind of like, what's going on here? Like, what's all this?
Yeah, completely. Do you have biases towards femininity? And then I put, i.e. you immediately assume a pretty woman to be dumb or sexualized, etc. Even if you later immediately correct yourself, do you have or have you had those biases?
Surely 100%. Of the world? Everyone?
Well, not quite. It was almost, well, it was 56% of you said yes.
It's interesting, that one, because the question isn't, are you sexist? Like, are you sexist? I can understand you saying no, but the question is essentially, do you have internalised misogyny? And the answer for everyone is yes. If you've been raised under patriarchy, which we all have, you do have these things, from the characters you watch on TV, to your friends, to how you interact with anyone.
Definitely. Well, here's where I found the discrepancy. I'll get into it. So then the next question was, are you treated differently depending on if you present yourself to align with femininity? 91% of people said yes.
There we go.
Okay, there we go. Is your self-esteem stronger in moments where you're aligning with patriarchal beauty standards? 75% said yes. Have you ever identified as not like other girls? Nearly 80% of them said yes. So 80% of you have said, I'm not like other girls, and yet you don't have biases towards femininity. Do you not? So why don't you want to be feminine? Why don't you want to be seen as one of the feminine people? Why is that seen as a bad thing to do?
Because life is just easier. Life is just so much easier if you present in the way that you're supposed to present. People are fucking insane liars. Stop lying on our polls.
Well, then they came in with their stories absolutely thick and fast, with some of the most hilarious things I've ever read, some of the most horrific things I've ever read.
And we're going to read some of our favourites because we can't go through them all. There's no way. And it's getting to the point now, it's really nice, but it's getting to the point where we just can't get through them all. So we're going to just pick our faves. Well, some of our faves.
Some of our faves, yeah. Okay, so you were a tomboy growing up and you got to puberty and things shifted. Can you explain? As in, you were a tomboy as a kid, like you liked Harry Potter and like using a stick to as a wand to like run around and say Expelliarmus.
Yeah.
And then you go through puberty and you want the boys to fancy you. and you slip into
femininity. Yeah.
Patriarchal standards. Yeah, femininity.
Well, I think it does just reach that age. Basically, as soon as your boobs start growing, it's like, okay, let's just place her in that camp now. So let's just put her there and then she can be sexualized and she can stop playing football or whatever she does. I remember I was on the football team when I was like in like year four. I was there were two girls and I was so bad, like horrifically bad. But then it's like, it's funny that in secondary school, as soon as you're seen as like a woman, that would be like unspeakable for like a feminine girl to be in the boys
team,
football team.
I definitely think, I mean, it's just obvious. As a child, everything's a lot more free, at least in your mind, even if not in the minds of your parents, your teachers or the adults who are supervising you or just experiencing your childhood. Definitely as a child, you feel more. And also as a child in the early 2000s, I reckon we did feel quite free to engage in whatever because there was definitely a tone of, just in the early 2000s in the UK, it was very much like everything for the taking. For kids like us, it was just everything's up for whatever, like not a big deal, like kind of there's two girls kissing on top of the pops, everything's multicultural.
Do you think though? I definitely didn't feel that.
Well, that's the thing. I think even though it goes without saying, even though there are issues and still are, like, beyond issues today and very much were in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think there was this the zeitgeist of the early 2000s was very much like, look what we've done, like, we've broken through, we're on the other side of the millennium. Like, there's a tonal shift in the UK where you've come out of the Spice Girls and you're into not only a new decade, a new time.
But you've come out of the Spice Girls into being more oppressed than ever.
Yes, but that it's almost Marxist. It's almost false class consciousness. It's almost...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. It is. It's everyone thinks they're free, but they're more enslaved than ever.
Why do you think they were more enslaved after the Spice Girls than before? Or you just think they're just as?
I'm not saying that it was as a result of the Spice Girls, but I'm saying that in the early 2000s, kind of that era of time, it was very much, if I think about like femininity in that time, if you think about femininity in the early 2000s or even like late 2000s, I'm thinking of like the kind of real like X Factor, like kind of heavy diet sort of celebrity culture.
Things were definitely different coming into the... There's definitely a shift from where you see in the late 80s and throughout the 90s, this kind of heroin chic vibe. Kate Moss is everywhere.
But I would say that continues.
It definitely does, but it moves. Then completely. You see, for example, Jerry Halliwell in a huge Union Jack, in a tiny little skimpy thing with big boobs, and they're all thin, but it's a different vibe. And you're moving away from the supermodel era of the 90s and into a kind of everyday woman, which actually I think leads into the Girl Next Door vibe.
Yeah.
Every film has this gorgeous kind of beachy waved white girl who is kind of super laid back, and she goes to work on her bicycle and kind of writes in her journal. And so...
And she's quote unquote not like other girls.
And she's not like other girls, and she's relatable and personable. And so there's been a shift in that she doesn't look like Kate Moss anymore, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's attainable. And yet she's presented as attainable in the most classic way. She's presented as kind of your everyday gal.
But I feel like she does look like Kate Moss. She looks exactly the same. She's just presented as kind of like, oh, I love a girl with an appetite, but still looks exactly like Kate Moss.
Yeah, she's got a big cheeseburger in her hands. Well, but the Kate Moss was very extreme.
From the look that we have now that's kind of idealised as in the Kardashians' thick thighs look, and the 90s, completely different. But I think that has only just come in so recently. If you think that thigh gap doesn't feel that long ago.
Definitely, but I think that's undermining how dramatic the late 80s and 90s were, in the sense that there was no room for body fat on a woman's body in the media.
And I still don't think there's much.
Well, there's not much, but it's a different, as you say, now it's a different shape. It's the Kardashian hourglass shape taken from a black woman.
Yeah, stolen.
And previous to that, in the early 2000s, you're kind of seeing Megan Fox, you're seeing what is presented as a more womanly or more feminine shape. And I'm not saying that it's getting better in any way. I'm saying the representation is different, and it's in the way that the 90s women were a symbol of manipulation towards women in a certain way. That manipulation is definitely still evident in the early 2000s, but it's totally different. It's kind of big sunglasses and wags and a kind of new era, a low-rise skinny jean.
Yeah, the aesthetic is different. It's a different vibe, but it's still just like straight up oppression.
Well, completely. But it's a different vibe because you can buy it on the high street. Everything's changing. The consumerism is made for people on the streets. So people are being targeted in a different way. Slowly, reality TV starts coming in. We start what was once kind of the heralded queens of mass media, i.e. Kate Moss, going back to. You slip into Spice Girls, then you slip into Top of the Pops, and then you get to X Factor, where a kid that you went to school with is now at boot camp. So then things start to shift, and then now with social media, fucking hell.
Well, then it opens up for the Kylie Jenners.
No matter where you are within the Western world, I guess no matter when you are in the Western world,
No. You're
always being indoctrinated into some form of like patriarchal culture.
Or like the ideal, even though the ideal changes, the fact there is an ideal of femininity is oppressive. Like the fact that now it might align more with like a more attainable body, as in being able to have some fat on your body. It still doesn't make that any less oppressive, I feel. The fact that there is an ideal.
Completely. Yeah, there's a standard. I mean, now I think more than ever, women are told to look a certain way. I think now more than ever, every girl wants the same look. People want the same nose, the same mouth, the same eyebrows. Whereas even in the early 2000s, everyone had skinny brows, but your face could kind of look whichever way. And as long as your bum was small and your belly was small, your body could look whichever way. You get what I mean? I think now with social media, obviously, it's just crazier.
Well, everything's heightened because the idea of celebrity has changed, and that it's kind of equalised that now anyone can be a celebrity. Like, if you have a phone, you can be famous. Whereas it used to be Simon Cowell needs to pick you, and then you can be famous.
Definitely. And you can't avoid seeing it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. You don't pick up a magazine anymore. You pick up the same thing that you used to text your friends, phone your mum, like everything.
And you're on it from the start of your day until the very last second, until those eyes close. Yeah.
Until those eyes close at night. Yeah. Yeah, and you're just looking at these people that all look exactly the same.
An abundance of people who don't look like you, and to be honest, don't look like themselves either.
And then you want to say, vote in a poll saying, I don't have internalised misogyny. It's like, well, what are your thoughts on these girls?
Well, because also, those same girls that you're looking at, you're not scrolling through thinking, oh, they're so smart, even though they're making business moves in their emails, even though they've been budgeting to afford that boob job, right? Like, no one is... there's a real disconnect with reality in so many ways.
So do you think for you, in terms of you, that you have been... We spoke a bit about this in the last episode, that your teacher thought you were stupid because you're pretty. Have you felt...
Yeah.
Can you see that in your own life, like this idea of femininity being aligned with stupidity? Can you see that in your...
People thinking that of me?
Or just in your scope of life, both, just in your life, like femininity being aligned with stupidity, a desire to like align yourself with masculinity, a desire to be like affirmed by like, oh, boys like what I'm doing, so that makes it better.
Something that I love so much, and I know you love it too, is the monologue from Gone Girl.
I wrote about this in my dissertation. I love it that much. Yeah.
It's so gorgeous. If you don't have the book to hand, pause this and go onto YouTube and type in Gone Girl, Cool Girl.
I memorized two lines for this podcast.
It's so gorgeous.
Two of the lines are as follows.
Select two.
She may have got this wrong, but it's literally like the two lines that I loved so much that I quoted in my dissertation were... It's like, I'm expected to chug beer whilst watching Adam Sandler movies, and I'm also expected to eat burgers all night with the guys and remain a size two.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, can you not see the hypocrisy in this? I love a girl that can eat her fucking food, but also she must remain looking like she doesn't eat a bite. Like, she must stay small.
Yeah.
Or, like, she's got to sit there and watch fucking shit Adam Sandler movies and laugh at shit male humour. To humour your ego.
And that's what I think changed in the turn of the 2000s.
That's interesting that you're placing it there. Like, I wouldn't really... There is a huge tonal shift, but I don't know if I would, like, place it on the turn of the century.
I think it comes in that early, definitely, because there's a real shift. Women, I think, become aware of the supermodel era has gone on for long enough so that that has become established in its own right. And beyond that, the women are becoming aware of it. So if something goes on long enough, people become aware that it's happening, hopefully. And that definitely happened in the late 90s. People became aware that supermodels and the supermodel was not attainable for the everyday woman. And so in order to further capitalise in a way that they previously couldn't, you can make that your brand by being like, I'm just so crazy, I eat cheeseburgers all day, I just got here on my skateboard, my chocolate milkshakes, Like, it's a crazy life.
But there were definitely movies like this in the 90s, like Jane Austen has characters that are like that. And
but,
like,
it's, but it's not in the same way. It's not, what's her name? Jordan Baker.
I don't know who that is.
Great Gatsby, is that her name?
Jordan Baker.
Who's the woman with the, she's the one that is with whatever his name is.
Daisy Buchanan?
No, her friend, her pal.
Oh, I don't know.
Because Daisy Buchanan is kind of the classic girl, the beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you have her, I'm sure her name's Jordan Baker.
It probably is, I don't know.
And she's kind of this kind of kooky, quirky, super hot, kind of crazy person. And this is a long time ago. This is Fitzgerald, and yet...
Yeah, but, like, if you think about women that are desirable because they don't waste their time with petty girl drama, it's like Elizabeth Bennet in, like, Pride and Prejudice is that character. Like, her whole thing is, like, just dismissive of...
Yes, but she's not heralded by other women.
She's definitely loved.
But not in the same way. Like, in the way that the cool girl in the Adam Sandler movies... is
I completely agree. Now it's different, but, like, this idea has been building for a long, long time.
Definitely. But I think placing it within the early 2000s means it's consumed by the whole of the Western world. And so in a way that not everyone is reading classics, and if they are, they're not necessarily, there's no drawing them to that character necessarily.
But it's kind of they walked so she could run. Like, it's like they...
Completely, yes.
Like, Elizabeth Bennet walked. She strutted that runway, baby, or whatever that
TikTok
is.
Well, you always need... You almost kind of always need, like, the antonym of the classic girl to show how perfect that classic girl is.
Yeah, totally.
It's almost like, well, Daisy Buchanan is so great because you had to have fucking Jordan Baker with her dark hair and her, like... Does she play tennis or something? I don't fucking know.
It is ringing a bell.
In the origins of Pick Me Twitter, if we're going from, like, Fitzgerald, for example, using kind of opposing women on Spectrum, but perfectly get along. They're best friends, but they're so different. But they're both stunning. They're both really attractive.
And men like them both. But one is dangerous and one is perfectly
exactly
beautiful and safe and desirable. Yeah, and she's also rich. It's like, okay.
But exactly, yeah. She's perfect in every way.
She's everything you'd ever want. She's basically, imagine an angel. That. Just that.
Completely. But that moves a lot over 100 years to get to a point where kids themselves...
Completely, yeah.
For example, are projecting as the Rizzo rather than the Sandy. And it's, in a way, because you're just choosing whatever you think would get you what you want easier or in a more fun way. Because really, no one picks Rizzo over Sandy because they like her more. It's because I'm going to get exactly what Sandy gets for being hot and pretty and cool. But
I'll get it with more fun. I don't have to be a fucking bore.
It's kind of wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, you can be fun.
Yeah. Well, it's just a different... It's just another way of getting in.
And you don't get, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. So if we talk about, like, all these figures, like, who do you think is, like, the epitome of that, like, now? As in, like, how that trope has, like, evolved of, like, the I'm not like other girls. Because I think it's, like, a Zooey Deschanel vibe. I've been watching New Girl recently, it's on Netflix, and she kind of just absolutely, to me, just reeks of that, like, pick me, I'm not like other girls, I'm quirky, like, I do, like, sewing, and I live in a loft with four guys sometimes, and I'm the only girl, I'm a bit crazy, but they all fancy me, like, I've got my long hair, that kind of vibe. But I was also thinking, because I think I have a bit of I'm not like other girls, or I definitely had a bit of whilst I was maybe at school.
I think everyone does still have it now.
Totally. I think, and I was trying to place where it came from, and I was like, I think not a big influence, but something that I probably heard and was like, that's fucking cool, was Demi Lovato, La La Land, who says, I can't wear my Converse with my dress.
I'm not like other girls.
Yeah, it's like, who said, I'm not one of those girls that wears heels. Like, I wear my Converse to the fucking Grammys. I don't know what she's going to the Nickelodeon Choice Awards.
Yeah, completely.
I think that it's that kind of not like other girls. But this is what I mean by, like, Elizabeth Bennet walked so she could run. It's like, I just marched through fucking woodlands to get to the place. And it's like, also, I wear my Converse to the Nickelodeon Choice Awards.
Yeah.
They're the same thing.
Yeah, I'm so scrappy and scruffy, but you still want to fuck me.
Yeah, but I'm still thin. I will go and get a McDonald's and I eat like some fries, but I'm still stick thin and I still look great.
Definitely. You know who I immediately thought of and who I think is the classic example, and I actually think is really interesting, almost case study of this, was what we all did to Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh my God, yes, completely.
She's falling at the Oscars, she's wacky, she's crazy, she's drunk, she's like, get me the pizza. She's having a whale of a time. Yeah, where is the pizza? She's the cool girl.
Yeah.
And yet now, it's not cool to like Jennifer Lawrence because, so what is it? You can only be not like other girls for so long. There's a timeout, there's a buffer zone. You only get kind of 5 years. And I wonder if, I mean, if you don't know, Jennifer Lawrence is a successful actress.
You may have heard this small indie film. It's called The Hunger Games, I believe.
She's an actress and she really had a strong persona of being, I mean, she was a young girl in her early 20s, reached quite crazy success at that young age, winning an Oscar at like 23, I think.
Yeah.
She's picking up her Oscar, she falls over on the stage. It's that kind of vibe. She's making jokes in every interview. Jimmy Kimmel's falling in love with her. Everyone's obsessed. She's a personable gal.
Everyone's in love because her whole brand was, I'm clumsy, relatable, like everyday girl, but you're not. You're absolutely beautiful. You look like a model.
Complete. Well, she was a model. Literally was a model before she was an actress. And so I wonder then, even if it's not just a la Taylor Swift, American, whatever it's called.
Americana,
where she's saying about how women only have X amount of time before everyone gets sick of them. Yeah, and they become overexposed and you have no room to do anything because everybody hates you just because you claimed your space as a woman. I wonder how much of it comes from that with Jennifer Lawrence in the sense that it's like, okay, we're sick of you now. You're not new and exciting. There's another hot girl we can find that can make just as good jokes. So move on, please. We're over you. And then also I wonder if it's the I'm not like other girls thing got old for people. Because people were angry.
I think they're linked. Like, I think that's a really interesting bit from that documentary. So if you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix, Taylor Swift's documentary, Miss Americana.
Really interesting themes in that whole documentary of, like, femininity and success and the whole girl boss.
And kind of this idea of being a good girl, like being good. Like, as a thing that women strive for, is just being like, you're a good girl, you're a good person. So why do we strive to be that? Men don't have that pressure to be, like, virtuous.
It is interesting. Even if you don't like her, you should watch.
Someone that she... I don't know if she discusses her, but someone that came to mind for me when I was watching that bit where she says women have to reinvent themselves way more than men would be Katy Perry.
Yeah.
As someone that... I mean, I don't know what she's doing now.
She's having a baby with Orlando Bloom.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy for her. I didn't know. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. She's still releasing music, but again, who's listening? And who do you think that's because of?
Yeah, she definitely came up with the, like, I kissed a girl kind of I'm not like other girls vibe.
Her first album was One of the Boys.
Her
debut album was called One of the Boys. And it had a great song on it called One of the Boys, in which she said she wouldn't shave her legs and shit like that. And then she came in to school after summer looking super hot and all of the boys fancied her, but they were so confused because she was just one of the boys.
There we go. Like, it's literally that. But I definitely feel like she's had to reinvent herself like countless amount of times, and it's one where it's like some worked, some didn't. Like the California girls vibe worked,
so iconic,
but then she kind of had to reinvent herself again and again and again. It's like, okay, we don't. Or like Lady Gaga, it's like you had to reinvent yourself there.
Well, every female artist has to come in with a new era. Yeah, and now we label it.
Lady Gaga had to come in with the stripped back, like, Joanne vibe. It's like, yeah, okay, because we'd seen it all before. So
Rihanna, every single album, Beyonce, everybody, every single album, every single phase, they have to shed, I think Taylor says, a new side of themselves, which is exciting and attractive, but not too attractive because it still has to be attainable.
And men still have to like it. Men still have to give it a tick or it will never be successful. But I think that's a really interesting one of thinking, about internalized misogyny and like I'm not like other girls thing, because it's like, why do women have to go through all these changes?
Even kind of Harry Styles.
No.
Harry Styles can always look like Harry. Harry Styles can always sound like Harry.
He's evolved more than anyone.
Well, he's evolved from One Direction, but no one's saying, new era, give us a new vibe, give us a new look, give us a new taste, give us a new sound.
I think that's because I'm on Harry Styles' TikTok that I kind of...
I like, think Harry Styles is evolving, yes, but there's a difference between what we do to women in that they're not just supposed to evolve, they're supposed to shapeshift and become bigger and larger than life in every single instance, versus Harry Styles can just make kind of slightly better music every time. And we absolutely love him.
But he does come in with new looks. I completely agree.
He does, but he's the same guy.
Not to undermine the whole thing, but Harry, like he...
I mean, we love.
Long hair Harry is different.
It's funny because I used Harry Styles as an example. When I spoke about Miss Americana on the story, this was ages ago, I put up a story about Miss Americana, or inspired by, saying kind of about how women have to reinvent themselves and et cetera, and got your guys' thoughts, and we were on the same page. And even though Harry Styles is great, no one is holding him to the same standard of like, well, you have to speak out about this marginalized group.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to make sure you're doing this, but not that charity, because they're unethical. There's a better one. You didn't do your research.
And that's about the virtuous good thing. He doesn't need to seem virtuous. Like, he already is doing enough by being good looking.
He can say, treat people with kindness, and we think he's an angel. And I do. Yeah. I think he's great. But bar is so low, yeah, as we say.
Are we saying Harry Styles is a scrappy-dappy-do?
No, that's the thing. I do think he's kind of the best of a bunch.
Yeah, he really is.
He's the best. He's what we've got to work with. And I think it's good.
He really is the best of a bad bunch. Like,
yeah,
the
but
premium,
I don't
premium.
Think, obviously, men are held to the same standards.
I think you'd be a fool to say they were. Like, if you're listening to this and going, hang on a second.
Like, Harry Styles was attacked once because he did X, Y, and Z. But was he really? And the only ways I think that Harry Styles hasn't been taken seriously in his industry or given the credit that the credit was due is because the large majority of his fan base is young women. And so that, in turn, discredits his work.
Completely.
Because young women and the taste of young women isn't valid.
Completely. Because it's not desirable to be liked by a bunch of young girls. It's seen as stupid.
By a bunch of teenage girls, even though One Direction was essentially chemically completely orchestrated from the beginning to its very end, I would say, to scientifically induce absolute adoration from young girls.
And oh, how they succeeded.
So you created this to happen. Don't be fucking annoyed and confused when the girls are screaming at the concert. Who do you think that's because of?
Simon.
Good old Simon Cowell.
He knows what he's doing, that guy.
And he's not worried about being a good guy.
Oh, and I love him. Everyone. And he's loved.
And he's universally loved, kind of. And hated.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Down the bottom of my garden, there's a school. Like, my old primary school is attached to the end of my garden. Confusing situation. But
I feel like if you're in the UK, you'll get that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm one of the houses at the bottom of the school field. You might know the ones.
Yeah, yeah. That you would run up to and kind of throw sticks at and, like...
Well, that's what I get all day. I've been on the phone to Erin before. She's like, why are you with a load of kids? It's like, no, they just hang out down there.
Kind of a bunch of fairies.
Yeah, but yesterday I was sitting down the bottom of my garden and I heard the kids all playing at the bottom of the thing and they were like, I'm going to be Simon. You're going to be the old woman. What's the old woman old woman's name? Oh, her name's Cheryl. And I was like, Cheryl's seen as an old woman. I couldn't believe it. How crazy is that? Simon... And one was like, I'm Alicia. It was like really cute. But I thought it was hilarious that Simon, who is significantly older than Cheryl Cole, is seen as Simon. And Cheryl Cole is seen as that old woman. I can't remember her name. And some other kid goes, oh, it's Cheryl. And she goes, where's Cheryl? How interesting is that? Cheryl Cole.
That's why I think discourse is so damaging. Because... the reason I think largely that children will think Cheryl Cole is an old woman is because she had a baby with another One Direction star, Liam Payne.
Hey guys, this episode is on One Direction.
And everyone was like, she's too old for him, she's so gross, blah, 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 blah. And in the way that Cheryl Cole had been attacked in the media in many different ways over the years, I think that was, she really took a brunt at that point, because it's a whole, getting attacked by One Direction fans is a whole nother level. You can have paparazzi outside your door in kind of 2004 and it's troubling when your husband has cheated on you, but bloody hell, I don't think you know Liam Payne like you do until you've met Liam, honestly, the Liam Payne, when the kids are tweeting you saying you're ugly and old.
Speaking of that, that is quite reminiscent of what happened to Caroline Flack.
Completely.
She wasn't seen as she was an older woman dating Harry Styles, the Harry Styles himself.
Well, he was underage.
He was underage, but how many times has that happened, the reverse? And the man completely gets away with it.
You know who I think is another good example of that? Jeffrey Epstein.
Go in.
Just in the sense that I really do think the only person who could get away with what Jeffrey Epstein did for as long as he did is a white man like Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah. Give it to a woman, it's never going to work. Give it to a black person, it's never going to work. It has to be him.
It has to be that you are in a position of unquestionable power. You're rich and you're white and you're a man.
Even to get yourself, to Jay Gatsby yourself into that position of power is a white man kind of thing. It's kind of that YouTuber.
Which YouTuber?
What's his name? The one who thieves his way into like expensive hotels.
I'm not outing his name. No, not outing Simon. Oh no, we can, but he's a good guy. Let's do Ali Law. He's gross.
Yeah, but it's the same vibe. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying Simon Wilson gets away with, we can say, keep that whole thing, I think.
Okay, let's do Simon Wilson.
Keep the whole thing, it's funny.
Well, let's explain then. So there's a YouTuber that I really love and my whole family kind of love and now Erin really loves. His name is Simon Wilson. You should go and find him. He basically does quite hilarious things where he's like this Welsh kind of bloke, like white bloke.
You've really got a big old smile on your face.
I really just love his...
like, it's true love.
Do you know what I do? I love his work. What he does is he does kind of London to Monaco on no money, like living in London on £0.
Zero money.
And he kind of does loads of... I just love to watch it because I love to watch a scam go on. But he operates with a very specific amount of privilege of being like the nice bloke that goes into like McDonald's and goes, all right, mate, I ordered a Big Mac, but I didn't get any fries with it. And they're like, oh, don't worry, here you go. And they just give it to him because he operates in this really specific bit of privilege that's really just like allows him to get away with anything by just being a bit of a working class white bloke. So you should go and watch Simon Wilson because he's the best.
Why did I bring him up? Oh, because I was saying white men get away with murder.
Because he's Jeffrey Epstein.
Honestly, and boy do they. But just in the sense that 1,000,001 people saw Jeffrey Epstein at kind of 50 years old waltzing around with a load of kind of 14-year-old girls. and no one says anything. They kind of go home and say, like, I think this guy that I've seen is, like, a bit dodgy.
They're massaging him.
But they don't do anything about... No one says a word. Honestly, we give a white man the world.
And they take even more. It is...
Well, completely. You give a white man a world and then get confused when they demand the universe.
I also think what's really interesting with, like, I'm not like other girls or, like, internalised misogyny is in terms of comedy, of men being like, women just aren't funny.
A lot of you said that on the story.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's like, no, it's because that industry is monopolised by men. And we laugh at a man putting a wig on of a girl and going, na 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 na, whereas a girl doing that isn't funny because it's like,
no,
why is that funny?
Female comedians get told that they just say vagina all the time. When what are men joking about? I would love to know.
Yeah.
Penises. So why does it not work for a woman? It works only because men find other men funny, because men have been laughing in their living rooms with other men at the expense of everybody who doesn't look like them.
And when women say, oh, this comedian is funny, this female comedian right here, she's funny, everyone goes, oh, she's a woman, though. Like, she's just, that's for women then.
She's not funny.
That's a woman's thing. I remember I was telling my brother about Fleabag. I was like, you'll love Fleabag. It's really funny.
Oh, I can't wait to watch Fleabag.
It's stunning. It's so, so, so good. And he was like, oh, that's like that woman thing, though. It's for women. He's like, why is when there's a funny man, it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. When there's a funny woman, it's for women. What do you mean?
I think not even just comedy. I say that a lot of films that Jack and I would watch together, I would literally say during the film, if this was a woman as the lead, we wouldn't have come to see this.
Completely.
Because a man's story is just a story.
It's universal.
A woman's story is only for women. Because being a man is the default experience of the human race. In the same way that in the early 2000s, I think I've said this on the podcast before, I said to my mum, so I would have been like young, early 2000s, I was like between the ages of 5 and 10. I think even 10 is too old. I was obsessed with Will Smith. Still am. We have the same birthday, teehee.
Oh my God, Libra King.
Cute. And I remember talking to my mum about how racism was still a thing. And she said to me that for the foreseeable future, there will not be a starring role for a black person, because they will always choose the white person. Even if it's a white woman, they'll always choose a white person. There would never be a film where the stars are black, because they won't be given that space. Because they won't be given that space. And I said, but what about Will Smith? And she said, well, that's the exception. And even though now, obviously, thank God, more and more films are being made, and hopefully things are slowly, slowly changing, hopefully. You can be aware of that in the early 2000s. White men are everywhere. They've pervaded every realm of society from the ground up. Not only are they the working class, they own it. And that doesn't change overnight. That doesn't change just by putting Will Smith in the star, because the whole production company is all white. The casting director is still white. The people writing the script are still white. So just because you have a lucky guy, Will Smith, oh my God, amazing what he's done. And true, yeah, I love him. But it's the same thing of just because you've now got a woman in the staff room, just because a woman is now on your boardroom, doesn't mean that your company is not sexist.
This is exactly the Taylor Swift thing. In Taylor Swift's documentary, she's trying to push, basically, there's a governor that's trying to pass like an anti-abortion law, something like that. It was something incredibly sexist.
Yeah.
And she's fighting against that. And she's saying to her management, I need to fight for this. Like, this is really important to me. I need to fight for this. And it's a load of white men sitting there, like, kind of in their, like, big collar shirts, like, arms folded. Like, no, you're not going to speak about this. Like, the sales will go down. Mm. And it's so funny that she is bringing in all of their money. She is the money maker in this thing. But yet she her decisions, her political actions still have to go through and be signed off by a load of men, load of white men.
By a load of white men. And also another thing I found interesting about that was that I believe one of them is her dad. He very much is coming from the perspective of, every day we receive credible death threats against your life. You speak out about something that your largely white audience will disagree with. Are you dead tomorrow? Is this a threat to your safety? And so here we are. If Taylor Swift, as a white, privileged, like rich, powerful white woman, is having her life threatened, potentially going to die for speaking up, what does that mean for the everyday woman, the everyday marginalised woman, the everyday queer woman walking down the streets? If Taylor Swift can't speak, we're absolutely done for. And so how could we at any point in 2020 still say, I don't have internalised misogyny? You do, because you know what it means to be a woman. Every womanly move you make puts you at some risk. even if it's what you were essentially born to do, quote unquote, even if it's having a baby, you still might lose your job. You're still going to get critiqued about your weight.
It's a weird thing then, because you're getting privileged for, so for example, doing a womanly thing, putting on a dress, wearing a dress rather than jeans. You get the privileges of wearing a dress, but you're also going to get more threatened because you're going to get wolf whistled and, oh, get your tits out when you walk down the street.
Yeah, you're going to get raped. And obviously that comes down to the rapist, but not the dress. But
completely. But it's the same thing, though. It's like, I may get the job that I want because I'm wearing this dress, but I also might get attacked by my boss because I'm appearing feminine and he fancies me.
Yeah. And then I can't report it. And then what? I just live with a sexual predator for the next 10 years that I have this job. And that's how I think we evolve from the classics to 2020, in the sense that over time, women will find, in a way, it's resourceful. Over time, women will find more and more ways to make their lives easier. And in some ways, that means adopting femininity. And in some experiences, it means rejecting it. And it's about, I think, like hedging your bets as to in what situation you're going to do better.
Yeah.
In some, it might be putting on your dress and keeping quiet. And in others, it might be going to a fucking football match and drinking beer. Both equally as valid.
I feel like we should do some people's questions. So going through the questions, I just saw a recurring word that keeps coming up, and that was basic. Like, people keep telling me I'm basic, or I always get aligned with being basic. And I think that is such an interesting word. It's like, are you just calling me stupid?
Oh.
Go on. Are you saying I'm pretty and therefore I'm stupid?
Ah, okay, I get you.
I think when people say you're basic, it means you look like a stupid girl.
You look like a girl.
Therefore, you're dumb. You're a dumbo.
You look like the other girls that I've seen. Therefore, you're basic. You're not even worth me. You're not worth the time of day, because I already know that you fit exactly with the other girls that I've seen out and about.
Or you're a gal. I've heard that one quite a lot.
I was going to say galley. It's like, don't be jealous. Just because you think someone's prettier than you, don't be fucking jealous.
Oh, so you think I'm stupid? You think because I straighten my hair and that I would wear a little tiny little skirt that I'm a stupid person? And I've said it before in episodes, like, okay, well, watch us all run intellectual rings about around you.
Well, I'm less valid than you.
Watch me talk about Marxism.
So someone who looks good is less valid. Interesting. The internalised misogyny jumps out.
Jumping.
Here we go.
Jumping out of the misogyny pond.
So how would you feel if I said to you, you're really basic? Imagine I said that to you. Fucking hell, cancel me.
Well, it is, because I've got internalised misogyny. It goes, why do you think I'm basic? Like, what does that mean?
Well, even you and I have had conversations about, now maybe I'm exposing you here, I don't know.
I love to be exposed, especially on this podcast. Where else am I going to be exposed? Love it.
But now I think you're on the other side of it. Yeah, exactly. Where else? No place better.
No place like home.
Definitely, even with hire, I remember you being like, it just can't be a girly thing. This can't be girly. And now I'm like, right, I'm going to chuck some pink on it and see how you feel about that.
Well, I also, this is what's funny about it. Pink is essentially my favourite colour. Like, purple and pink are my favourite colours. But I definitely have a bit of a like, oh, don't wear pink. Like, oh my God, don't wear pink.
I saw someone literally said that. Let me read it.
Yeah, we've had quite a lot about pink. Pink is a stunning colour, but for some reason we're all scared of it.
An irrational fear of pink because I feel like it made me look weak.
And I can relate completely. Can you relate to that? As in, if you were going to wear a big pink dress with pink shoes and a pink bag, it's like, okay, I look like I'm in that film. What's it called? Legally Blonde.
I think I have quite a niche experience, and I think it just comes from, it's just never been my worry. I think because early on, because I fit in with exactly what people would want a girl to look like, I can slip into being a tomboy at 5 years old in the same way that I can be super girly and just never be worried, in a way.
But I think that's really unique.
I think it is really unique, because also I think...
But it's unique because, similarly, I can slip into being any masculinity or femininity, but it's just, I still would have reservations about aligning myself so closely with femininity.
I think I have a confidence in being girly that I've had since I can remember, since being really, really young, like early 2000s, because I was watching Bend It Like Beckham.
Stunning.
And Harry Potter.
So stunning.
And also, I could be really girly. Like, I think also I felt the power in exploiting femininity and capitalising on a look from a young age, because probably also because I had the security of knowing that my parents were going to be told I was the smartest in the room. And so it's a privileged position. It was a luxury, and there was just no fear, because as I've said to you before, the only thing I love more than proving myself right is proving others wrong. And it's like, oh, if you thought I was dumb, joke's on you. Like, sorry, I'm not. Like, oops. Like, no, like, I'm in pink and I'm smart. I think I just have never, ever worried about being girly. If I wanted to be girly that day, I just would enjoy it. I actually think it's one thing that I'm so confident in is my femininity, and simultaneously the ways that I'm a tomboy.
Well, I would agree. Like, I completely agree that intelligence has never been questioned for me. But I think recently my intelligence has been not called into question, but as in, you're not living up to how intelligent we know you are because you appear more feminine.
Yeah, you've essentially been told you're too pretty these days. I didn't see you doing this. You're too pretty these days. I thought you were going to be like writing. I thought you were going to be doing something super bureaucratic.
Kind of just locked in a room, kind of writing a...
with a load of papers.
Yeah. It's really difficult also because there are contexts that... So I'm just going to fill the whole context here. Not the whole context, some of the context, the appropriate context I can fill. Throughout my life, there's been an expectation because I've been kind of in the top set and kind of more aligned with traditional masculinity, as we said this in the last episode, as in like very strict with my opinions and potentially a not like other girls kind of vibe that either has been pushed onto me or that I have put out into the world. And I think very recently, especially, or within the last like few months, I'd say 6 months, there's been a kind of energy around me that's like people being sort of like, so when did you become so basic? When did you become this? Especially with us doing Hire, which focuses on like female issues, there's an energy of like, we thought you'd be doing something different. It's like, wait, no, you thought I'd be doing something masculine. That's what you mean.
You thought I'd be quiet is what you thought. You thought I'd be quiet.
You thought I'd be doing a kind of masculine old job. You wanted me in a theatre. You wanted me doing some kind of writing thing. I fucking love that shit. But at the moment, I'm focusing on women's issues. And people have an issue. People have an issue with it.
Yeah, they do. And you know why? Internalised misogyny.
But I think it's because it aligns itself not only with femininity, but we run a very aesthetic, stunning page run by two stunning gals, and people have an issue with it because it's like, but we didn't see this for you. And it's almost like, oh, look, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You want me to hide in a cave?
Well, also, it's like, listen, I'm not going to hold your hand while you figure out your own internalized misogyny. I'm not going to hold your hand while you figure out your own issues with the patriarchy and how you've let a societal construct dictate what you do and what you think is valid for a woman. That sounds like a you problem. This really has nothing to do with me and how amazing I am and the ways that I can exploit and capitalize and slip into whatever the fuck I want. You should keep your fucking mouth shut. Well, it's definitely something that we've faced for a long time with Hire. And I've definitely been saying to you, people have an issue because they hate femininity. That's where the majority of people's issues lie.
My relationship with my own femininity is not like, I don't feel oppressed in it. So then when it's like, okay, so I'm wearing a dress or I've got my hair straight and I've got a load of fucking mascara on. People are like, oh my God, but you're stupid now. We didn't get the memo. It's like, no, you just didn't get the big memo.
I have been so shocked in the past like 3 years, I think, past few years of my life, my early 20s, of how far everyone was from my understanding as like a kid. I just had no idea that people hated women that much in my naivety. I really thought we were a little bit further along.
I think I definitely had that shock when I came back out of uni, because when I went to uni, I knew the world was sexist. I'd been amongst sexist people in my life.
Mm.
Went to uni, did all my learning, and then came back out and realised not everyone did that learning. As in, not everyone was doing that. Like, everyone else was getting on with other stuff. Like, fair, completely fair. But I was like, oh God, I thought that was a global shift.
Well, even back in secondary school, I thought everyone was having those conversations. They weren't. I think something else that I think is really interesting in that specific one that I read out about how an irrational fear of pink, because I feel like it will make me look weak. I think the tie of femininity and weakness is something you can shed a lot of light on.
More relatable than anything you could have possibly written. So thank you for every single person that wrote that. Like, it's so fucking difficult as a woman that identifies as like a strong fucking person, but then your body's like a weak up thing. Like, it's kind of like, it's funny when you identify in your mind as so fucking strong, and then you step out into the world and you're being told by everyone can be, you're physically oppressed. Like, you get people shout at you, "You're right, babe," on the street and things like that. It's like, oh, okay, so, I mean, that's it. I think I definitely have a preoccupation with weakness.
So that's why I think a lot of people are similar to you. And in the way that we attribute weakness immediately to femininity means that anything you see as feminine becomes bad. And so, of course, we all don't want to be feminine. I'm not saying so black and white, we don't want to be feminine, but you guys get what I mean. That there is an internalized patriarchal sense of rejecting femininity. I'm not a feminist. I'm not like one of those feminists. Obviously, I just think people should be equal. I'm not like a feminist or anything, don't worry. Fuck off.
I can't bear that.
Is this 2011? Fuck off.
Like, don't worry. Oh my God, I'm not one of those crazy feminists that thinks we're equal.
Shut your fucking dumb mouth and leave this space.
I also think, I just want to pick up on something you said like literally probably 10 minutes ago, but you mentioned Bend It Like Beckham,
which
I think is the perfect example of a film that is about women that express societally masculine traits, but it's not in a not like other girls way because it's written and directed by a woman. Yeah. It's like, it's not this like, you know, the trope like a manic pixie dream girl.
Exactly.
Which is the Zooey Deschanel kind of Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on that. Fuck.
That vibe.
I mean, that's a whole thing in itself. Maybe we could do a whole other episode on that.
I would love to do an episode on manic pixie dream girls. It's like a filmic trope, I'd say, of kind of the girl that's written by a man, has no desires or interest in her own, and is just like, has kind of pink hair.
There's a million and one, exactly, yeah. A million and one memes of this.
She's quite disturbed and like, but she's just...
She was beautiful, but she didn't know it yet.
She just wants to be loved by you, the only man that would ever love her.
The unattractive, overweight, early 30s, unsuccessful, living at home man in her life.
Yeah, she's pretty, but she doesn't know it. That kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
It's that. And she kind of wears... It's Zooey Deschanel.
She was beautiful in an unconventional way.
Yeah, literally.
Shut
that.
The fuck up.
She wouldn't listen to rock music. Shut the she doesn't like pop music. It's like, what's going on here? She has a skateboard.
Oh, she ran around in her underwear and a big baggy t-shirt with her headphones blasting music.
She has like rollerblades as well. Like, she like rollerblades around town. Yeah, she's got no friends. She has no interests.
Because she sounds like a fucking cunt. Who would want to be friends with that?
Also, she doesn't exist. She's a male fucking figment of the male fucking ego and imagination.
Also, when they think they're doing women a favour.
Yeah, they think, oh, wow, okay, brilliant.
They think they're doing a good thing. They think they're being representative by talking about women in that way.
Yeah.
They think they're doing women a favour.
Totally. And I think there's a bit of all of us that kind of wants to be that manic pixie dream girl. Like, oh, I want to be that mysterious
the girl with five colours in her hair.
I just rollerblade around town, man.
Fuck off.
Oh my God, totally.
Just be happy with who you are. God, you're going to live in misery.
It's so
You're actually going to live in misery. Fuck. Like, I'm worried for you.
So fucking true. Like, you really are. There's a really good film that's about this. I can't remember what the film is, but it's I think it's written by Zoe Kazan, if you know her. What the fuck is the name of the film? Let me just find it. And it's got her husband in. Zoe Kazan film. And Paul Dano film.
Loud keyboard.
Ruby Sparks, that's what it's called. And it's about a man that writes... He's a writer. It's kind of a satirical film. It's written by Zoe Kazan. It's called Ruby Sparks. And it's really funny. This man is like a writer. He's like, goes to his therapist every day. He's in his head. He writes this female character and she comes to life. But it's like, she's like this kind of kooky girl. But then she develops, from being alive, develops her own like autonomy and like leaves him.
Amazing.
It's really good. But I think you speaking about Bend It Like Beckham, it just shows the difference when a female writer is writing about women who enjoy sports. Mm-hmm. It's just about women who enjoy sports. They're still women. They still have their own interests. They still have friendships and family and personal dilemmas and all of these things. And they're not just, oh, I just play fucking football and I just don't like any other people. It's like, no, you're just a woman that enjoys sports. That's not your whole personality.
It's so good. I mean, the film's not perfect, but I actually think it's a really good representation of the UK in the early 2000s, and that
it's brilliant,
that atmosphere. There's definitely an air of there's something very peculiar about that time. So particular.
I think that film is amazing. Like, I really, really love that film. I think it's really... I mean, there are obviously dated elements. Yeah, but I think...
It's absolutely iconic.
I just think there's a huge difference. You can tell a huge difference between the fucking... A woman that's written by a woman and a woman that's written by a man.
You can immediately tell. You can immediately tell.
Well, it's like mentioning Fleabag. It's like, okay, there can be Fleabag or there can be...
Kind of everyone. Well, the you can tell by thinking, do I like this? Yes or no? If it's a no, it didn't come from a woman.
Does this feel like a human?
Literally.
Does this feel like a human or a robot? It is hilarious.
Definitely. Oh my God, I thought this one was really interesting. Didn't give us a lot of info, but I would love to hear about it from you, and I would just love to discuss.
Okay.
So this person said, blah, blah, blah. The question was, have you experienced or witnessed internalized misogyny? And I thought this was so good, or just so interesting. And no one else said it that I saw, but I just thought it was a classic example. I hated that they were making the 13th Doctor Who a woman.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Okay, so if you don't know Doctor Who, it's a real British classic, cult classic.
Are there people that don't know what Doctor Who is?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God, wow. You don't know David Tennant?
Tennant! Christopher Eccleston!
Oh, my God. You don't know Billy Piper? Goodness.
Oh, well, she's kind of a not like other girls girl.
I loved Billy Piper.
There we go. Well, so anyway, Doctor Who is kind of this time travelling... He's a Time Lord.
Time Lord.
Time Lord. And he travels the universe in his phone box, in his TARDIS. And he kind of picks up like hot girls on the way, basically.
No, only is he a Time Lord, he's the last Time Lord.
Exactly, yeah, he's the last of his kind.
It's kind
he
of
travels
a big deal,
in time,
you know?
He saves the world, he like finds a sidekick or two, typically like a hot gal, really, really cool guy, and he shapeshifts. He has, what are they called?
He can kind of reincarnate
There's a certain word, right?
I don't know, it's been years.
There's a particular word they use in the series, but I guess we're not as well-versed in Doctor Who as we once were.
We're not, do you know what they call themselves? Whovians.
Literally Whovians. That, yeah.
I once sat next to a girl in a lesson who said, I'm a Whovian. And wow. I was like, what's a Whovian?
Oh my God. Well, she was not like other girls, yeah, for sure.
I thought it was like a Dr. Seuss thing.
So basically, the Time Lord, basically, every so often, when they want to reinvent the series, they'll sack off the actor and they'll find a new one. And since, I don't know when Doctor Who came out, the 60s?
Kind of like the 60s, yeah.
We must be right if we both think it. Kind of with the classic time.
Looks like a bad TV. Definitely the 60s.
It's like all these old, like, British white male actors. And he can completely reincarnate, essentially, so that a new actor can play him and give the series a new lease of life. And it actually had a resurgence in the early 2000s, which is why you and I are familiar with it, as in the way that we are. And they revised it and rebooted it. When was this? 2016, maybe? 2017?
Was that a reboot?
Well, it's just the new series.
Because it was that... Was it that Matt Smith?
No, Matt Smith was 2010.
No, it was that other guy, the old Peter Capaldi.
Then they had him. Yeah. Now they have the woman. I don't even know the woman's name.
Jodie Whittaker.
Right.
She's amazing.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, she's amazing. Well, I haven't seen it, but...
Have you watched it? No, see?
But I love her.
Well, obviously not enough, because you haven't watched it.
But I didn't watch the first two. I actually thought the other day, I was watching Broadchurch, and I thought I would call my child Jodie after this woman.
Oh, she's in Broadchurch.
She's amazing.
Well, I do need to watch that. Well, anyway, I just thought this was a really good comment. Hated that they were making the 13th Doctor a woman. It's like, yeah, of course. So basically, the scandal was...
The Whovians hoo-ha.
In the UK, that isn't racist and that isn't sexist and it's so perfect. Boring. That everyone was like, they can't make it a woman because it's always been a man. Like, why would he can shapeshift, not into a different fucking sex, and all of this. And then people were like, you know, I don't care if they're making it a woman, but like, why do we have to put women in everything? You know, we don't have to be inclusive in everything. Like,
I saw a lot of this.
Fine, I'm not fussed. I don't care that it's a woman. I just think, God, we don't have to make everything inclusive.
Yeah, a lot of it was, oh, not that I care, like, but they don't have to be in everything. They don't need to be in every single thing. It's like, well, women don't need to be in everything.
Exactly.
Are you mad? Like, It's kind of like...
It's like, but a woman made you.
I find that so strange. It's like...
You're only here because of a woman. Women are everything. Women are everything. You will never escape us.
But it's just sort of like, why would a woman not have to be in everything? Are you fucking nuts?
Completely. When it's been a white man since the 60s, is our guess. I'm just like, uninformed
since
arguments
the 1960s.
Here. When it's been a white man for so long, why would it not... Goodness me, in 2020, be a woman.
It's like the fact that you have such a deep-rooted sense that but women can do it because they're stupid and it's not interesting. They're not funny. They're not entertaining. You hate them. You hate us. You hate women.
Well, what's the point? What's the point? Blah, blah, blah. What's the point?
You don't want to see them on your screen. You don't find them entertaining. You don't find them intelligent. You don't find them funny. You just think they're nice to look at.
Just say you hate women and go. Why is it unrealistic for a woman to be smart... as this character is, and good as this character is, when she also has a fucking supersonic screwdriver that she uses as a weapon to gauge her time fucking travel, for goodness sake.
Do you know what's fascinating about this? So, are you familiar with Sarah Jane? Sarah Jane Adventures?
I am.
So, Doctor Who, back in, I'd say, the 80s, I don't know the days, he had a sidekick called Sarah Jane. They revived her story with the Sarah Jane Adventures that was on CBBC. That was a whole other thing. It was kind of a spin-off. But she... So the Doctor... I don't know why we're such big fans
today. It's a spin-off. Why are we talking about this? Yeah,
the Doctor... Doctor Who has a sonic screwdriver. Sarah Jane, showing misogyny in every way, has a sonic lipstick. Can you believe? Can you believe?
Guys.
Can you fucking believe?
I mean, it says it all.
Don't tell me you think we're not dumb. You think we're so dumb. He has a screwdriver. He just does that all day. Twist a little screwdriver.
Half the time he doesn't know how to fucking use it. Half the time it doesn't work.
She has a lipstick. Do you want to just call me dumb and leave? Like, seriously, I can't bear it.
So also then there will be a part of that, that as a child, you're watching that on CBBC, consuming that. And as you've always known... that the Doctor has a supersonic, I don't think it's
sonic,
is it? It's just sonic.
Sonic.
I think it's supersonic.
supersonic screwdriver.
So the Doctor has always had a sonic screwdriver. You now see a woman and she doesn't get to have the classic part of the role. And so you think, why do I have to miss out? And so then you think, okay, well, what ways can I lean into things? What parts of myself can I shed and reject so that I can easier fit into the spaces where I will be given the screwdriver and not the shitty second option?
It's like, why, when I could have a screwdriver that does shit? It's kind of like, oh, what do men have in their bags? Men have tools, they do stuff, they make stuff. What do women do? Oh, they just make themselves look pretty. It's like, are you fucking joking? Give me the screwdriver right now.
And even though a sonic lipstick is way miles cooler than a sonic screwdriver, it's the fact that the sonic screwdriver is the default.
It represents so much.
Yes.
It represents action. It represents like doing, making, creating stuff. Lipstick represents the male gaze.
Patriarchal standards of beauty, completely.
Yeah, it's like, think about what the objects you've given a man and a woman.
Yeah, completely. But then I also think there's...
There we go. And the second that a woman steps into a role of power, everyone hates her.
Completely. Then I also think there's the second lens, the second element of, not only do these items have very glaringly obvious connotations, but beyond that, why is a woman's experience not the default? Why is a man's experience only valid? Why is that the only experience that is good? Or the only stories that need to be told?
I was going to say this earlier, and I thought this is a really interesting bit of language, but I saw this. I was just doing some reading, as I do, as we all do. Women read, you know? And they'd written the word he, and then in brackets they put, I am only using the word he to denote both male and female experiences, but I'm using he as a default. And it's like, if you were using he, you do know he is gendered. Like, you can't use that to denote male and female experiences. Like, why the fuck did you not just write they, you moron?
Well, also, it's like, yeah, take away the brackets, because that goes without saying, because I completely agree with you. He is the default.
Yeah, completely.
But you shouldn't be sustaining that.
Yeah, but I just thought it was a crazy thing to write. Like,
that's insane.
It was on the defense. It was like, he, and by the way, I'm using he as an inclusive term. It's like, no, you're not. Don't say you're not.
That's
Don't
so
say you're
bizarre.
Using that as inclusive. just said, write the word they. Are you aware that word exists?
That is so bizarre.
But it was almost like written like, and for all those mad feminists that are going to come to me, I'm using he as to mean he and she. It's like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. See how dumb men are, and yet women are apparently the dumb ones.
Literally. Is that me writing, oh, so the table, by the way, I'm using the word table to mean table and chair. It's like, no, you weren't though.
So stupid. Fucking God, that's depressing. That's bleak.
So this has been an interesting episode. A lot of Doctor Who has come up. Who would have thought it?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it though.
I mean, I feel like we've gone through everything. Benedict like Beckham, like what?
We've gone through everything and yet also nothing.
I know, this really didn't take the course that I envisioned, but I'm really happy that it took a different turn.
Same here. I feel like a better person after having that conversation. My life feels more whole and enriched. I've been truly enriched by this convo, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it goes without saying. I feel it every week.
Do you?
Mostly.
I usually feel quite drained and like...
I drain you of everything.
I often feel like, did I express anything? Did I say anything right?
Oh, completely.
And the answer when I edit is absolutely no, you did not. You did not. No. Trust that gut feeling. You didn't say anything you wanted to say. So, yeah, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for your messages. I'm so sorry that we couldn't go through more. If we do another episode, well, I mean, we will do another episode, but if we do another episode on the similar themes, then we will use more of your honestly amazing and hilarious insight.
And we will go through and literally read them all. We do go through and read them all. Today we just could not go through them all. There were so many.
And there's a lot of thoughts. I think it shows there's a lot of thoughts because this conversation felt quite chaotic, but it flowed. It was good.
Yeah. It flowed like one big tsunami.
Like the patriarchy washing over me.
And terrifying. So go and question your internalised misogyny.
I'm questioning why you haven't left us a review on Apple.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm questioning.
That was an hour of free convo for you there. And we're happy for it to be free. We love giving it. We love the chat. But please, please, please go give us a review because we absolutely live for the reviews.
It's like, I didn't want to have to ask, but you've left us no choice.
Genuinely. So please go give us a review and share this to your story. Go tell your friends about us. We love getting messages saying that you sent this to your friends.
Really,
like, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, everything you guys do makes me happy. I've got a big old smile on my face just thinking about you.
Anything you guys tell me, I'm in.
So thank you guys so much as always. We absolutely adore you.
Adore. J'adore.
Like kind of in tears.
Like, I gotta
also
go.
Good news, Steffi now has Animal Crossing, so I'm about to end this podcast real quick and go and visit her island.
Oh yeah, Erin's coming over to my island right now. And it's called, do you want to know the name?
Well, maybe you should reveal it in the next episode at the beginning. Okay.
Okay. Island name reveal next episode. Can't wait.
Ooh, stay tuned.
Okay, cool. If anyone wants to come to our island, let us know. We might do a giveaway.
A giveaway of visits.
I just organised a whole business. By the way, we're giving away a free Switch. Oh shit.
£2 a ticket.
Word vomit.
Okay, cool.
Okay, speech later, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.